On It's Been a Minute, we're keeping you in the know when it comes to culture. I break down the latest trends and the forces behind them and introduce you to the creatives who think deeply about how we live today. Come for some good old cultural analysis and have a few laughs with me. Listen to the It's Been a Minute podcast from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Amy Held. Donald Trump's lawyers have been trying to shake the credibility of the lead witness in the criminal trial of the former president. NPR's Andrea Bernstein reports from day four of testimony at the courthouse in New York City.
Trump attorney Emile Beauvais used his cross-examination to plant the idea that the National Enquirer was publishing negative stories about Trump's 2016 presidential opponents because it was good for business, not to help Trump. Beauvais tried to mine David Pecker's multiple meetings with federal and state prosecutors for inconsistencies, and there were some. But Pecker stood by his testimony that his relationship with Trump was unique and that the plan formulated in August of 2016 was to catch negative stories and bury them. Pecker was adamant after the campaign and a meeting in Trump Tower. Then President-elect Trump thanked Pecker for helping to suppress news of his alleged affair with Playboy model Karen McDougal. Trump has pleaded not guilty to 34 counts of falsifying business records. Andrea Bernstein, NPR News, New York.
Trump may be in criminal court today, but the presumptive GOP nominee posted to social media that he will debate President Biden anytime, anywhere. Biden has been more circumspect about his choice to debate Trump. Biden had said last month he would base his decision on Trump's behavior. But today, Biden told Sirius XM radio host Howard Stern he is now willing to take on Trump.
I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy to debate.
News organizations, including NPR, have written a joint letter calling on both campaigns to engage in debate, a decades-old tradition in the presidential election cycle. Pro-Palestinian demonstrations are taking root at dozens of U.S. college campuses. Some have stayed peaceful, some turned chaotic, and have included student arrests. At the same time, universities have become a flashpoint in discussions of rising anti-Semitism. Jeremy Siegel from member station GBH reports protests are happening at multiple Boston-area universities.
Roughly 200 students at Northeastern University set up an encampment in support of the people of Gaza. Graduating senior August Escondon says they were met with a heavy law enforcement response, including police officers in riot gear.
We're camping out in solidarity with the people in Gaza. We really want to bring awareness to this, and we want to stay here until Northeastern hears our demands, and then we'd leave immediately.
Escondon and other students say they want the school to disclose and cut their ties to Israel. Students at Harvard are also demonstrating, despite warnings from university officials that they could face disciplinary action. And early Thursday morning, more than 100 students protesting at Emerson College were arrested by police. For NPR News, I'm Jeremy Siegel in Boston.
This is NPR News. Israel appears to be laying the groundwork for a full-scale attack on Rafah, where a majority of Palestinians are sheltering from the war. Already, Israel is conducting near-daily raids on the southern Gaza city in its quest, it says, to eliminate Hamas. Now we are learning a premature Palestinian baby rescued from her mother's womb shortly after she was killed in an Israeli airstrike has herself died. A relative says the baby girl spent 5 days in an incubator at a Gaza hospital after 30 weeks gestation, but could not survive. In India, voters are going to the polls in the second of their seven-phase elections. Omkar Khandekar reports the country's Supreme Court has rejected a petition to verify all votes cast using electronic machines.
India conducted its second of the seven-phase elections, with nearly 160 million people eligible to vote across 13 states and federal territories. Results will be announced in early June. The voting is being conducted amidst concerns by opposition parties over the possibility of tampering electronic voting machines used during polls. India's Supreme Court rejected petitions asking for ballot paper verification of all votes cast using these machines. The Election Commission has called the machines tamper-proof. But critics accuse the Election Commission of being partial to the ruling BJP party and Prime Minister Narendra Modi. And that appears to have eroded trust in the country's voting machinery. For NPR News, this is Omkar Khandekar in Mumbai.
On Wall Street, stocks are broadly higher. This is NPR News.
Listen to this podcast sponsor-free on Amazon Music with a Prime membership or any podcast app by subscribing to NPR News Now Plus at plus.npr.org. That's plus.npr.org.